bless you. Let's sing together, opening our service with Praise Him, Praise Him. It's hymn number 12 in your hymn.
I want to welcome you this morning to our 10:30 traditional worship service. Glad that you're here. Guests, we're glad that the Lord's led you to worship with us here at First Baptist Church. Take a moment, wander around, welcome your friends. We are glad that you are here today.
Thank you. Make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself. Dream your dreams, chase your heart above all else. Make a name the world remembers. All an empty world, sell his empty dreams. I got lost in the lie that it was up to me. Is the only name to remember. And I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. And I've only got one life to live. I'll let every second pour to him, only Jesus. All the kingdoms built, all the trophies won, crumble into dust when it is said and done. Is all that really matters. Did I live the truth to the ones I love? Was my life the proof that there is only one whose name will last forever? And I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. And I've only got one life to live. I'll let every second point to him. Only Jesus. Jesus is the only name. Jesus is the only name. Jesus is the only name to remember. Oh, Jesus is the only name. Jesus is the only name. Jesus is the only name to remember. And I've only got one life to live. I'll let every second point to him. Only Jesus. And I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus.
Seniors, congratulations. So many accomplishments, so many memories, so many things to look back on. As I say every year, we meet here for senior recognition service, and it is always moments like these, as Joel said in the first service, and it is these moments that it's good to sit and look back, look ahead, and just kind of take a look at where you've come from, where you've been. As I sit here and think about all the moments we've shared together and worship at the youth building and worship at conferences and just the things that we've experienced together, I'm grateful, I'm thankful, memories that I cherish. Funny memories, splinters and beach retreats and, I'm sorry, I had to. I told you I was going to. Just so many things, but I'm just thankful for the moments that we've shared together in worship and in his word and allowing his spirit to just convict and lead us in life, right? For those, you know, we've got a very, you know, great group here, as you can tell, leaders that have, you know,
really taken charge and really filled some spots in our youth group and led our youth group and led their peers. We're very proud of that, very proud of their accomplishments academically. We have the valedictorian and Carson Brown and the salutatorian and Carter Britt right here, part of our group. Very great accomplishments, proud of y'all and what y'all have done. Leaders in their sports teams and clubs in every area. We are absolutely proud of who you are, what you've accomplished, and where you've come from. We're also looking forward to the achievements that you have ahead of you, to the things that you will go out and achieve in life. And we want to encourage you in that and strengthen you in that. But as a spiritual leader in your life, it's only fitting that we come here and open God's Word and encourage you that. Several times I've heard John Croyle speak, and one of the topics that he always talks about is raising kids and raising kids up to the age of 18. He talks about packing a suitcase. And as we raise kids and as we invest in them and put into their lives and pour into them, we've got to about to the age of 18. And that suitcase becomes closed. And then they are going to take what they know, take their experiences. They're going to go listen to other people. They kind of shut mom and dad out, right? Been there. I've had that happen to me, and I've done it. So I've been on both sides of that. So he talks about that. But thinking about that, and thinking about packing a suitcase, I'd like to tell you, just go out to the world. Focus on how much money you can make. Focus on how big you can make your name. Focus on all these things and just enjoy life. Have fun. And life is going to be so easy. The greater you can make yourself known, the greater you can achieve things, the more money you make. I love to tell you that. But thinking about the suitcase thing, what if your parents had one day told you to, all right, pack your bags. We're going on a trip to the beach. We want you to pack your own bag. Get ready. We're heading out in the morning. You pack a bag for the beach, get in the car, roll out. Next thing you know, you're in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado going on a ski trip. Right? That'd be a cruel joke, right? Something JD might do, right? So so as we stand here today, you could go on a vacation, you could do that stuff, but you'd be miserable in it if you didn't pack accordingly. If you packed for the beach and ended up in the mountains, or you packed for the mountains and ended up at the beach, you'd be there on the journey. But in that, if you weren't packed accordingly, you'd be miserable when you got there. And so as we come here today and we focus on God's Word, we come here and we open His Word, and we want you to know as a church, as youth leaders, we want you to be prepared for what lies ahead in life, for the journey that you have, for the struggles that may come. You will have many achievements, many accomplishments, many great feats ahead of you. But you will also have trials and struggles. In this world that you are entering into, in the society that you are going into, they will challenge your morality. They will challenge your way of life. They will challenge your faith. And they will challenge you in just who you are and God created you to be. And so we want to look. And this morning I felt led to go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, starting in 10. Paul tells us, according to God's grace that was given me, I have laid a foundation as a skilled master builder, and another builds on it. But each one is careful. Each one is to be careful how he builds on it. For no one can lay any other foundation than that has been laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become obvious, for that day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work that has been built survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will experience loss, but he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the fire. So as we go into life, as you go into life, the things that we have been through, the struggles that we have been through, I hope you will look back on the experience that we have had, thinking about those times where we've been in worship, thinking about those times where we've experienced His Spirit in our hearts and felt His presence, His love, His joy, His peace. I hope that through everything that you go through, you will look back on those moments and know that our God that we serve is real, that He is with you and He will walk with you every step of the way. But what you have to do is make sure that He is part of your life along that journey, that His word is a part of your life. And so what we're giving as the gift this morning, what we're giving is His word. Giving each one an autographed, your name on, your Bible, that we want you to take into this world, that we want you to find your strength right here, your identity right here, your hope right here. The world is going to try to tell you where to find your hope in worldly things, in your achievements, in your accomplishments, in how you act, how you're perceived, and how you look. And we talk about this Wednesday night after Wednesday night. And I hope that you will take today and take the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, and you will strengthen your relationship with Him. As you go off to college, you may have had, and you leave your home, you may have had mom or dad cook all your meals for you, tell you what time supper was, come down, all you got to do is sit at the table and eat. You might have had mom or dad wash your clothes, take care of all the things that you got to do, take care of your schedule, take care of all those things. As you venture and take this next step of life, you have to become your own. You have to step in your own and take responsibility for those things. You have to plan out your meals. You have to plan where you'll eat. You have to take care of your clothes, clean up, act yourself, do all these things. You become your own and take those responsibilities on yourself. And that doesn't just stop with the things of this world. So the reason we're giving you this word is we hope that you will take on yourself the things that you have heard, the things that you were taught, the things that we experienced. And I hope that you will take and open His word and read His word and stay close to Him and allow Him to guide you through the things in life, the decisions in life, what field you may go. He is a God of blessing that wants to bless you if we stay in relationship and obey Him. And He will be with you along the way. Just if you have blessed us in both services this morning, blessed us week after week, I want you to be a blessing to others and go through things in life. The storms of life may come. If we didn't prepare you for those storms, we would be doing you a disservice. I didn't know when I was growing up at Creek Path Baptist Church, I didn't know the storms of life that were in my future. I didn't know that in 2021, within a 5-month span, I would be electrocuted, should have lost my life. In September, that was in June. September, I lost my father. And in October, I lost my nephew. That's a hard 5 months. That's a 5 months that if I'm not grounded in my foundation, is not in Jesus Christ, and I don't have my hope in Him, and I don't have His peace guiding me and surrounding me in that time of life. If I'm living for me and life squeezes down on me like that, all I can do is tear everybody down around me because life is not going my way. And I want you to be a blessing in the good times of life and in the hard times of life. And when your strength is in Him and in His word, in the times of victory, you will prosper. In the times of trial, you will also prosper because His hope, His peace will be with you. We did a thing years ago when they were young. I don't know if they remember it, at Strength to Stand. Everybody think of a number, 1 through 10. You can use 1 through 1,000,000, whatever. You can use whatever one, but I don't trust Joel's math. So for easy math, choose a number 1 through 10. So you take your number, whatever number you've got in your mind, and you double it. Double your number. Now add 6 to that number. All right? Now divide that number by 2. All right? Now subtract the original number that you started with from that number. How many came up, or how many didn't come up with 3? 3 is the number that you should have ended up with. No matter, you did. Okay, Joel's math is good. All right. No matter where we start in life, no matter what we go through in life, the answer to our problems in life is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He has a plan for us. He will guide us wherever you go. And I hope you go out, and I hope you are the greatest in whatever field of medicine, the greatest doctor and creator, and find new remedies and new cures and engineering, law. There are great opportunities out there, and we wish you the most in that. But in that, through the trials of life, through the trials of your field and how you work with others and how you influence those in the field you go into, the answers are what we are giving you today. Your relationship with your Creator, your blessing is in Him, and we hope that you will go out in that. Got one thing I want to read in closing. All right, this is from Billy Graham. He says, it is easy to focus on the physical well-being or emotional happiness as we prepare for the future. It is not necessarily wrong to be concerned about some of these things, but is this all it takes to prepare? The answer is no. Not even the securest financial plan, the finest health care, aren't even enough to hold us steady when the challenges of life come. Will a full bank account satisfy you when disability takes away your freedom or death robs you of someone you love? Will robust health shield you against the storms of loneliness or grief? We need a solid foundation beneath our lives, a foundation that will give us strength and stability no matter what happens. And the time to build is now. God does not want us to drift aimlessly through life, desperately seeking happiness and security and peace, but never finding it. Nor does He want us to build our lives on unstable or impermanent foundations. God has already provided the foundation we need. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Seniors, let me pray for you. Dear Lord, I just praise you and thank you for this group. I thank you for what they have meant to this church, our youth group, their sports teams, their clubs, everything that they have been a part of, God. I praise you for allowing me to see you work in and through them. I praise you for the moments that we have shared together in worship, in your spirit, the mountaintop experiences that we've had where you were very present in our lives, God. I praise you and thank you. Lord, I pray that you would just allow them through the road of life that they are led down, Lord. I pray your guidance over them. I pray that you will just put godly people in their lives that will strengthen them in their relationship, their knowledge of you, God, and I pray that you will just bless their steps and decisions made. You will guide their careers. You will guide their path. And you will just allow them to serve you and be a blessing to others through you and who you are. Lord, I pray your protection. I pray your guidance. I pray your hand be on each and every one here, Lord. We praise you and thank you for who you are, what you've done, and what you are going to do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we are going to start the video, and then I will call them up one at a time. Annabelle Austin. Xander Bittman. Church, your class of 2024 graduating seniors. We're going to give just a minute for moms to get a picture. Anybody that wants to get up here and get a picture of their babies, I'll get out of the way. And we would also like to make sure that you know that all family members are welcome to join us for a luncheon in the fellowship hall right after the service. Thank y'all.
Thank you so much, all of our graduates. We're going to sing a song now. It's our offertory hymn number 597. Take my life and let it be consecrated. The Bible says to consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. That's the words of the Lord as he spoke to the children of Israel. And so consecrated is a term that we use that talks about being set apart for God. So I hope that today you will consider yourself set apart for God's service. Let's stand as we sing the first and the last stanzas.
Sons and daughters. Lord, we thank you for that truth and that joy that we have. Lord, we're thankful for this church this morning where we can gather, Lord, and study your word and lift you up in praise and worship. Lord, we're thankful for the youth that we have in this church and their desire to know you, Lord. We're thankful for these young adults, graduating seniors, Lord, and we just ask that you be with them through their walk in life and prepare a straight path for them. Give them the wisdom, Lord, decisions. Lord, as we take up an offering this morning, we just pray that it be used, Lord, to further this ministry and, Lord, for us to know you and make you known. In all things, Lord, may you receive honor and glory. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one
Trust in God all along the way. But it's not just for them, it's for each and every one of us in our daily lives to place our trust in God and leave it there. Trust Him no matter what. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we want to pray for our pastor as he comes to proclaim the good news. Strengthen him now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, ensemble, and our praise team this morning from our seniors. For those of you that don't know, this morning in our early worship, that group of seniors, and they were all seniors that sang earlier in our worship service, they led the entire early worship this morning. Now, I said, after it was over with, I said this to Ken and I said this to Warren, there's a lot of churches today that are enduring worship being led by students. There was no enduring for us in that early worship. It was absolutely fabulous. All seniors leading worship this morning. A talented, very gifted, talented senior class. So thankful for them and thankful for celebration today. All right, Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 8. That is our passage of Scripture for today. And we're going to look at that real quickly here in just a moment. We've honored our seniors. It's one of the great high water marks of life. And it is typically in this time of year that I call graduation season at the end of April, all of May. And we'll hear all these graduation speakers. If you look at Facebook at all, what you'll notice is if you scroll through, you'll see a graduation of this college or this high school and a salutatorian or a valedictorian or a celebrity or somebody is speaking at graduation. And you'll hear, oftentimes, you'll hear things like this when we get to this graduation season. You are the captain of your own fate. You are the master of your own soul. You can do anything you want to do. You can be anything that you want to be. Those are very popular graduation speeches. In essence, what they're saying is this. You are in charge of your own life. You are in charge of you. You run your own show. That sounds really good until you do something really silly and stupid, and you will. And then everybody else is responsible. There's a case study that was presented to a group of first-year college students. Charlie, in his early 20s, one night after spending hours in a bar, got in his car and on his way home had a wreck and he killed a child. Here was the question for the case study. Who was responsible? First year college students. Charlie goes to bar, drinks, has a wreck, kills somebody. Who's responsible? And they had to assign blame to somebody. Is it Charlie's fault? Was it his parents' fault? What about his friends that should have grabbed him? Was it his friends' fault? The bartender is to be blamed. What about society at large? So as you can imagine, these first-year college students, they assigned blame. And they gave blame to everybody that was just listed except for Charlie. In this modern day of litigation, and especially in this modern media that we now live in. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen this week. This is just going to happen this week. Whether you think that I'm right or wrong, this is going to happen this week. Something bad is going to happen in our world or in our culture. It might be a nation. It might be a company. It may be an individual, a celebrity. And something bad is going to happen. They're going to do something really, really, really bad. Something really terrible is going to happen. And the news media then behind the scenes will work feverishly. They will have all kinds of people looking and researching and trying to find out so that they can then come back on the air and assign blame to somebody. That's their goal, it seems, in life. Something bad happened. Somebody go out and find who fault it was. Let's now assign blame, and then they will rail that company, person, individual until they are dwindled down to a nub. Assign blame. But here's the problem. They will assign blame to everybody except the actual person or group that is responsible. But now wait. I thought I was the captain of my own fate. I thought I was the master of my own soul. I thought I could do anything I wanted to do. I thought I could be anything that I want to be. So, is it Charlie's fault? Or is it everybody else's fault? The point I'm making is this. In typical fashion from a sinful culture living with sinners, we are daily bombarded with these mixed messages that if not corrected by God's word, like Warren taught us or told us, these seniors, then it will drive us absolutely insane. When something good happens to you, you demand, you go, girl. But when you do something silly or stupid, no, it's not your fault. It's everybody else's. Which one's right? I don't know. How about we come to a third option? And in this third option from the Word of God, in the book of Genesis, we find the story of Joseph. Now, I don't have time. We got to have lunch here in 15 minutes. So I got time frame here I got to work with. I don't have time to tell you the whole story. It starts in Genesis chapter 37 and it goes to Genesis chapter 50. It's a long story about this young man named Joseph. So I don't have time to recount the story, but let's just say that Joseph lived in a more dysfunctional family than any family that we know here at First Baptist Church. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. They were so jealous of their father's love for baby brother that they wanted to kill him. They eventually sold him to a band of Midianites as slave. He landed, though, on his feet. And I'm talking about a long story short. I mean long, long, long story short. He ends up second in command in the biggest, greatest country that the world had ever known to that point. Think about that. Older brothers, jealous, sell him into slavery. He ends up in the largest, biggest country in the world at that time. He rises to the point of being a slave in prison. He rises to the point that he's now second in command of this entire world. Second only to Pharaoh. He's the man that is in charge of running all of the public works for Pharaoh and Egypt. So during this great famine, Joseph's brothers that attempted to kill him, sold him into slavery, they show up in Egypt looking for food. Irony. The greatest irony of all ironies. The brothers that sold him, little baby brother, into slavery now come to Egypt begging for food, and they're right in front of the little baby brother that they've sold into slavery years ago. And they have no idea that it's even him. They have no idea that the Egyptian official that literally is in charge now of their lives, whether or not they're going to have food to eat for the family or whatever. The little baby brother that is standing before them, or the man that Egyptian official that's standing before them, is none other than their little baby brother, Joseph, that they tried to kill. And they realize who he is. Now, put yourself in their shoes. You and your brothers have sold baby brother into slavery. Now, baby brother is second in command, answers only to Pharaoh. And they are scared out of their minds, and rightfully so. It is payback time, and they knew it. But Joseph calms their fears and he tells them that though they deserve it, he is not going to get revenge. Rather than do what he needed to do for them, he blessed them, gave them the food that they needed, told them the family is going to be preserved. And then Joseph says something in chapter 45 that I want you to hear. Joseph could stand it no longer. There were many people in the room, and he said to his attendants, "Out, all of you." So he was alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. He broke down and he wept. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians could hear him. And the word of it quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. "I am Joseph," he said to his brothers. "Is my father still alive?" But his brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing in front of them. "Please come closer," he said to them. So they did. And he said it again, "I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery. But don't be upset, don't be angry with yourselves for selling me into this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. The famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years and will live on for 5 more years, and then there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive, to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. And it is the one, he is the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace and the governor of all of Egypt. You meant this for evil, but God meant this for good. So, surprise! And the surprise is that there's another actor in the story. And his name is God. What Joseph's brothers meant for evil, God meant for good. You meant this for evil, but God meant this for good. So the question then is raised, is for me, is this. What if your life is not your own? What if you're not the captain of your own fate? What if you're not the master of your own soul? What if the culture is wrong? What if your life is God's? St. Augustine once said that when you look back over your life, the steps that you have taken can first appear like chicken tracks in the mud. Little chicken tracks going this way and that in the muddy chicken yard without any direction at all. You can picture that in your head. A chicken yard, it's muddy, chickens everywhere. Chicken tracks are everywhere. There's no rhyme or reason. But through the eyes of faith, sometimes those seemingly purposeless tracks take on a pattern, a direction. We begin to see that they're going somewhere. They suggest the hand of God. And it is then that you realize that the life that you're living, the meaning that you mean, is not all that there is. We're busy meaning this for evil or for selfish ambition, but God is busy meaning this for good. We don't dare give justification for the brothers and their sinful behavior just because Joseph forgives his brothers and says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. You didn't send me here. God sent me here. That does not in any way justify their sinful behavior, nor does it assuage them of their guilt. What they did was wrong and it was sinful. Jealousy, anger, hatred, lying, and a whole lot more sin involved in that that we don't even have time to cover is all racked up in this story. But that's the beauty of this story. The beauty of this story is this is the gospel of the Old Testament. I am Joseph's brothers, riddled with sin, jealousy, anger, hatred, every sin known to man. I've got it right here in this heart. Just like Joseph's brothers, and Jesus is Joseph. Love, grace, forgiveness to sinners. With their repentant hearts, the brothers found love and grace, and the same is true for us. So what is God doing in your life right now? There's an old theological word for it. It's called providence. That is, God has a purpose. We are busy making choices and decisions, busy doing all the things that we do, and yet God is busy providentially weaving and guiding and directing our paths. So be open to the possibility of the unseen hand. The life that you live is not exclusively your own. For those of us who are in Christ Jesus, for those of us who have claimed Christ as Savior and Lord of our lives, there is a claim on our life. And that claim is Jesus. And He is not finished with us yet. Father, I thank You for a powerful story in the Old Covenant that then is the reflection of Jesus and sinners in the New Covenant. Like the brothers, we have sold You into slavery, Jesus. And when we stand before You, we realize, oh my goodness, what have I done? And with a repentant heart, You give grace and love and forgiveness that we never deserved, but were given anyway. Thank You, Father, for that powerful story and powerful truth. My life is not my own, and I'm thankful. I'm not the captain of my own ship. I'm not the master of my own soul. And I'm so grateful for that because, Lord, I've seen my work. And I know what I can do. I'm thankful that my life is yours. Thank you, Father, for the gift of life in Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen. The invitation that we're going to sing is when we walk with the Lord, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord, then we encourage you to do that, even right now. If you need to make that public profession of your faith, we encourage that of you. If you need to join our church or come and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand, as we sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us.
Tonight at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary, we will have our second prayer event for the year. Ken will be leading us in a little bit of music as we start. Micah, our children's minister, will then guide us and direct us and tell us what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. We're going to just go all over the church, even up to the youth building, and have a time of prayer. We're going to be praying all over the church about all the different ministries, Sunday school teachers, in our church and praying for that event. Then we'll all meet in about 30 minutes after that in the fellowship hall, and we'll close in prayer. So tonight, 6 o'clock, prayer event in here, our second prayer event for the year, and we look forward to that. All right, seniors and families, go to the fellowship hall while we close singing Victory in Jesus.